76 trombones led the big parade, with 110 cornets close at hand. They were followed by rows and rows of the finest virtuosos, the cream of every famous band.
Movie fans familiar with the irreverent and often obnoxious characters Jack Black has played in High Fidelity, School of Rock, and Nacho Libre, and who have heard him perform heavy metal anthems with his band Tenacious D, may be surprised by the role Mr. Black took on in his latest film, Bernie. In it, he plays Bernie Tidy, a beloved musical theater-loving funeral director in a small East Texas town, who becomes a paid companion to and eventually murders Marjorie Nugent, a wealthy, ill-tempered widow, played by Shirley MacLaine. The movie, which was directed by Richard Linklater, has been popping up lately on lists of potential Oscar and Golden Globe nominees, and it's just been released on DVD. I'm very pleased that it has brought Jack Black to our show today. Hello.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We just heard you sing 76 trombones from the movie. In that scene, Bernie runs a rehearsal for The Music Man, which he's helping stage in Carthage, Texas, the sort of thing that led almost everyone in the community to like him or even love him?
That's right. He was a jack of all trades. He was involved in a lot of community activities like the theater. He was constantly directing productions and also active in the church. And, he was a giver.
And when you say he, we're not talking about the character. We're talking about a real man named
Bernie Tidy. Right, the actual. Bernie Tita the Third.
Oh, Tita?
Yeah.
Bernhard. I saw the film about 6 months ago.
A lot of people, there's different ways to pronounce his name, but according to him, it's Bernie Tita.
Was it a big news story at the time?
It was in East Texas. If you were in East Texas, certainly in Carthage, you knew about this. He was the most popular guy in town, and that's what was so peculiar about the case, is that everybody loved him, and it looked as though he was not going to do any time in prison, because no jury in East Texas was in Carthage was going to convict him, but the district attorney successfully moved the trial to a different part of Texas where nobody knew him, and he was put away for life.
And he's in prison right now.
That's right.
You met him?
I did. I thought it was important to go meet the man. If you're playing a real life character, it's important that you do everything you can to know the person as well as you can. So. We went to the maximum security prison and, let him know that we wanted to make the movie and got his blessing and let him know that we weren't going to be making a mockery of his life story.
But you were going to be using his real name.
That we were going to be using his real name and telling the true story.
And there are pictures at the end of the film that where we see the real Bernie Tidy. And he looks very much like you, or you look very much like him. Maybe it's the black mustache.
Yeah. He had some things that I could, replicate, like the hairdo and the black mustache. He's actually much taller and softer than me, but I did the best I could.
You've described Bernie as a little darker than your usual roles. Had you been looking for a chance to play a non-comedic role in a movie?
I wasn't actively searching for drama, no, but I was actually, at the time that this came to me, working on a School of Rock 2 script. We were trying to crack the code on that because we had such a good time on the first one.
But it was such a big hit.
Yeah, and we only wanted to do it if it was as good or better than the first one, and we just couldn't figure it out. It just didn't feel right. So we were walking away from that, and Linklater, the director, said, well, wait a second before you go, Jack. You might want to look at this script that I wrote about 15 years ago that I really want to do now, and I think you'd be great as the lead. So I read it, And I thought, whoa, this is not School of Rock 2. This is a much different situation. But I jumped at the chance. It was a great opportunity to explore some deeper parts of myself and work with Rick again.
Well, had you been concerned that you were being typecast?
No, I like all the roles I've played. I've had a lot of fun. I actually, if anything, was just getting a little bored playing myself. So it was.
Oh, you're really that obnoxious guy?
I am not obnoxious. Stop saying that word. Why do you think I'm so obnoxious?
Okay, we'll use a different word.
Sometimes I'm larger than
life.
Guilty. But I wanted a chance to play something very different for myself. So it was fun to get deep into a character. And I found it easier to get to some emotional places when you have a mask, when you have a character to hide behind.
Bernie is extremely generous, both with his time and, as the story progresses, with Marjorie Nugent's money after she's died. She would not have approved of that generosity, would she?
I can't really speak for Marjorie Nugent, what she would have or wouldn't have wanted him to do with her money. I mean, she knew how generous he was.
But she was really cheap.
She was very cheap, but... you know, she chose to have him by her side at all times, and she knew what kind of a person he was. He was the most popular guy in town for a reason. You know, he was a real giver. And she left all of her money to him in her will, so she knew eventually he was going to give it all away. I don't know that she wouldn't have wanted him it's hard to say.
Well, when the murder is discovered, many people assume that Bernie just killed Marjorie for her money, but that wouldn't have occurred to him.
No, we don't think that he did that for that reason. We think that it was a classic case of temporary insanity.
Well, she was an extremely difficult and demanding woman, played by Shirley MacLaine. I don't know if that's typecasting.
Well, having met a lot of the people from Carthage, Texas, that knew Bernie and Marjorie, it seems safe to say that she was one of the least popular people in town. She was very demanding and rough and powerful and wealthy, and he was one of the most likable. So it was a very strange pair, the two of them together. And Shirley, when Shirley MacLaine read the script, she loved it for a different reason. She thought that it was an amazing tale of gossips and how everyone thinks that this lady's a real bitch, but really she's just a strong woman who's telling it like it is and to hell with the rest of the world. And she felt like she was going to make people like this woman by the end of it. And I was like, oh, no, that's not right. She's supposed to be more like Nurse Ratched. She's gonna ruin the movie. But in the end, I think she just brought some dimension to it and played it like it should be played, because certainly Marjorie Nugent didn't think that she was a villain. So whoever plays her shouldn't feel that way either.
In fact, probably no villain thinks he's a villain.
Right.
We all just think we are who we are, and the world has made us the way we are, or that we're right in what we do.
I don't know. Have you ever watched any of those prison television shows? Some of the dudes with the face tattoos, they seem to know who they are. They don't seem to have any qualms about calling themselves villainous.
Well, Bernie kills her and then doesn't dispose of the body. Why, as a funeral director, did he come up with such a poor solution to the problem of dealing with her dead body?
Well, I think it just, when he did it and he realized what had happened, he immediately put her body in the ice chest to be frozen and dealt with at another time. And he just kept that as a secret. Maybe he even like blocked it out of his mind, because he went ahead and lived his life as if nothing had happened. And it became just another one of his secrets, because I think he is a man with secrets. You know, I think he is a homosexual man in a small Texas town where that's just not something that you are openly. And so that having secrets in his life was nothing new, and it just sort of went into that category.
Also allowed him to have that kind of relationship with an older woman, where they are together all the time, even sleep in the same bed.
Yeah, that's true.
My guest is Jack Black, whose last film. Are you working on another one?
I've got some things cooking, yeah, but nothing that I can really talk about.
Well, probably also doing a lot of stuff in music. But his last film was Bernie, which now is being talked about as a potential Oscar and Golden Globe nominee. And so I guess it's going to be shown in a couple of theaters again to remind everybody that it was a very effective film. Of course, there's a DVD that's just been released. Rick Linklater says that he developed School of Rock with you in mind to play the lead, but obviously he had written the script for this film years before you even met. So when do you think it occurred to him, when he was just having that casual conversation?
Well, you know, he wanted to make it 15 years ago. He wrote it right after Bernie was convicted.
Well, he grew up in East Texas, didn't
he? Yeah. And he just wasn't able to get the funding together at the time. It just didn't come together, so he made a bunch of other movies instead. And for some reason, he just felt like the time was right, and he felt like I was the guy to play it. I don't know why now instead of then, but.
Well, it was also interesting that he could actually shoot the film in the real town.
That's right. Well, he shot some of it in the real town.
Carthage.
But most of it we shot near Austin, Texas, in a little place north of Austin called Bastrop.
Bastrop?
Yeah, Bastrop, Texas. It has similar landscape to Carthage, the pines, the pine trees.
When you were in Carthage, did you get to talk to any of the locals about Bernie?
I did meet a lot of Carthage natives, but I didn't shoot anything in the actual town. I met them on the set when they all came to the trial scene. They were all in the courtroom, and
he used them as extras.
Yeah, he used them as extras, and also interviewed a lot of them for the sort of Greek chorus that he has throughout the movie, where because it goes back and forth through traditional narrative storytelling. And then it goes into kind of documentary feel, where he's interviewing people from the town and hearing what people thought of the real man, you know. So it was kind of an interesting device that I had never seen before. And I thought it was one of the great creative things that Rick did with the movie. But he points out that there was another movie that I never saw called Reds that did something similar. So he won't take credit for breaking new ground, but I still give him credit for it.
Well, I don't even think Warren Beatty invented that idea when he did Reds.
Who did it before Reds?
Oh, it's been something that has been used, a device that's been used over the years.
So no, I couldn't agree less. If you can't name one,
okay,
I'm say,
you're right. Well, I was unprepared, Jack. But I'm sure it's true. Meanwhile, you get to sing in this movie as well.
Yes.
Songs of the sort that you're not generally accustomed to singing.
Yes, the songs that you apparently are very accustomed to hearing, with your knowledge, your encyclopedic knowledge of gospel, but
semi-encyclopedic.
It was all new to me, and it was another one of the reasons I wanted to take it, because it was a interesting challenge, a whole new world of music.
Well, let's take a little break. Maybe we'll listen to your singing from the film, and then we'll come back with more Jack Black. We're talking about Bernie and Jack's career in general.
Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. Now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole.
No one can destroy the metal. Strike you down with a vicious blow. We are the vanquished foes of the metal. We try to win for why we do not know.
Jack Black singing with Tenacious D, his group, which we will talk about in just a moment. He is here mostly to talk about Bernie, a film that he made with Richard Linklater directing, and a film that they're hoping will get some Oscar and Golden Globe buzz. But let's talk about Tenacious D for a moment. Now, that's a very different kind of music than what you sing in this film.
The gospel? Yeah, it's although we were thinking about doing a gospel album, Tenacious D. That would be an interesting change. But we actually have just released a new album that's very different from what we usually do. It's a jazz album, and it's entitled Tenacious D Jazz, and it's available only on vinyl in record stores now.
Now, Tenacious D is—I would call them a satirical group.
Mm-hmm.
Is your jazz record satirical as well?
Well, for me to say that the jazz is satirical, I don't know which way to answer this, because I'd like to stay in character. Okay, I'll just tell you the scoop, but try to keep it under your hat, will you?
Okay. Nobody's listening anyway, Jack.
The joke is we approach it as though we are the greatest jazz ensemble of all time. Better than Miles Davis, better than Satchmo, when in reality we're not very good at jazz. That's basically the whole joke. Mm-hmm.
But do you improvise?
I do improvise. I do a lot of scat and improvised lyrics about jazz and about space and time and an existential sort of rant that is very musical.
So it's like jazz and poetry from the 50s and 60s.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And we take it pretty seriously. I mean, the band is great. We started playing jazz just in sound checks in between our other songs. The drummer just started playing jazz, and the bass player and the guitarist, and me and Kyle started riffing on it. Kyle Gass, my partner in Tenacious D, and we just thought it was so funny that we were playing jazz, and it felt so natural that we thought, let's make this part of the show. And we played it for strictly rock audiences that revolted and booed, but they had this joy about their booing. You know when you can rally a crowd to boo something like disco or something? So we just took it to the next level, and we went into the studio and we recorded a jazz album that's just one long song.
But different than the way Grateful Dead would have done a one long improvised song.
No,
a lot of rock musicians actually started studying jazz as well. They come out of jazz, or they aspire to play jazz at some point in their lives. The both musics actually come out of the same root material, so okay. we shouldn't be surprised, should we?
I couldn't agree less. I don't think there's been one rock band that's come from jazz. But
no, what I'm saying is that there are musicians in rock who wanted to be jazz musicians initially, and then I know a few, in fact.
Well, all I can say is really, well, maybe some of the prog rock bands like Yes. I'm sure that, yeah, Steve Howe, I'm sure, was a great jazz guitar player. But what I can say is there was a time when jazz ruled the popular music world. Mm-hmm. And now it's been splintered and it's gone in different directions. And you can hear traces of jazz in a lot of popular music. But jazz as its own art form has definitely, you know, diminished in its power. And you can see that starting to happen with rock. I mean, rock at one time was the king, and now it's definitely diminished. There's no giants of rock anymore.
So what do you think has replaced it? Nicki Minaj?
Well,
Beyonce?
I think that we're looking ahead, and the crystal ball and the future is jazz again. It's time for the jazz to rise again.
Now, the name of the group, Tenacious D, that comes out of basketball?
It does, yeah. We're huge NBA basketball fans, and we decided to name the band Tenacious D. It seemed very funny back in 1992. Now, I think we made a mistake. There's much better names for a band, but we're stuck with it.
What would you call the band if you were forming it now?
Razzmatazz? I don't know. I'm not ready to answer that question.
The Jack Black Quintet?
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe something like that.
Well, people would recognize the name on the album.
I don't know how Kyle would feel about that. Kyle, I have a new name for the band. It's Jack Black and the Polished Turd. And he'd be like, what? Am I the Polished Turd? No. Never mind.
So Bernie TD is still alive in this maximum security prison in Texas. Is it something he's adjusted well to? I can't imagine anybody adjusting well to prison.
I mean, he's making the best of it, certainly. He's very popular in prison, you know? They like him there. He continues to be the most popular guy wherever he goes. He's leading church groups. He's converted to Catholicism since he's been in there, and He's teaching classes in nutrition, and he keeps in touch with all his friends from Carthage, Texas. And whenever somebody dies in Carthage, he'll crochet them a nice little memorial in the workshop and send it. So he's you know, staying involved in the community.
You're totally confusing me, because I always thought that Texas prisons had a reputation for being pretty rough places to live.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly rough. There's rough customers in there.
You met some of the prisoners. Didn't some of them recognize you from when you played a Mexican priest who wants to be a professional wrestler in Nacho Libre?
Yeah, there was some shout-outs for Nacho while I was in the... Nacho! But there was also some School of Rock fans in there. And believe me, I was glad to hear the support. Because that's when you really want to have friends and fans, when you're in a situation like that.
Was it scary?
Yeah, it's very intimidating. And, it was very incongruous to see Bernie in there with all of them. But if you're, you know, what they say is a well-behaved prisoner, you get some benefits, like you can work in the workshop, and he was awarded that honor.
Do you know if Bernie has been able to see the movie?
He is not, unfortunately. I really want him to see it and see what he thinks of it, but you're not allowed to have fun time screenings like that. We wanted to do a premiere there at the prison, but they put the kibosh on that plan.
I would think one of the most difficult parts of playing Bernie is keeping an expression of innocence on your face throughout the film.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to convince this audience that Bernie is really a very sweet person, even though he winds up committing a murder.
That was a tricky part of it for me. I don't know if I completely succeeded in that, because my natural tendency is to have sort of a little devilish grin through my performances, and I had to squash that impulse and that instinct. So I did the best I could. Hopefully I didn't. Because that would confuse the matter, I think, and make it seem like I had ulterior motives, or there was some kind of a getting away with murder plan, which there wasn't. But, yeah.
My guest is Jack Black, who stars in Bernie, Richard Linklater's film that has just been released on DVD and is being shown in theaters around the country, because it's on lists of potential Oscar and Golden Globe nominees. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. I understand you also had access to videos of Bernie singing gospel songs and leading a congregation in song that were made during his days as a funeral director in Carthage. So did you base your approach on the way he sang?
Yes, I was fortunate enough to have lots of videotape. For research purposes, because he was a public figure and lots of people videotaped his congregations.
Maybe we could play a little more of He Touched Me. No, we can't. Okay. Can we or can't we? Yes, no, yes. Just so we get a sense of how successful Jack was.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me. Now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole.
How did your friends at Tenacious D react to hearing you sing like that?
Oh, they loved it. They loved Bernie. You know, we're bold experimenters in the D, so it's no shock when they hear me going for something new.
Well, you didn't grow up singing in the church, but when you were a kid, was acting the most important thing or singing?
When I was a kid, I liked to get up on stage. I had an instinct very early on that I liked to make people laugh and like to get up in front of an audience. When I was in summer school, when I was 8 or 9, I think was my first performance on stage. I was the wizard in The Wizard of Oz. So I'd say acting came first, but...
And then you did Pippin.
Yeah, but then I did Pippin, my first musical. So music wasn't far behind. It's always been sort of the combination of the two that was my strong suit.
And were your parents surprised? Aren't they rocket scientists?
They are aerospace engineers, to be exact. And they were very supportive. They came to all my plays. They never discouraged me. I wanted to go on auditions when I was very young, and they were fine with that.
And they said to you, it's no problem, Jack, it's not rocket science.
They never diminished my accomplishments in the field. They never tried to push me in any particular direction. They might have been confused as to why I didn't turn out more like them, but they never let on.
Didn't your mother work on the Hubble Space Telescope?
She did. I like to say that she built it single-handedly, but I think she might have had some help.
But still, that's an incredible achievement.
What's an amazing achievement about it as to this day, it continues to supply us with beautiful photos and glimpses of billions of years ago of our universe. And that's a pretty amazing thing when your mom does something, you know, 30 years ago that still reaps such great benefits.
Although I guess it's going to be allowed to die.
So they say. Hmm. And we'll have someone going to have to build a Hubble Part 2.
A listener wonders if there's a difference between singing straight and making fun of what you're singing.
Is there a difference between singing from the heart? Not for me, because even when we're singing funny songs, it's always important to me that it starts with a subject that I'm passionate about, that I'm interested in very, very intensely. We have a song on the new album called Throwdown that's all about the evils of organized religion. And while it's funny in the way that we, you know, wrote the lyrics, it's something that I really believe in. So I sing it as if, you know, there's no difference.
Maude from Park Slope wrote a comment on her show page. She said, just saw the film this weekend. I really enjoyed it. Were the people interviewed throughout the movie people from the Texas town? Also, just wanted to say how much I love Mr. Black's acting. He's fabulous. Also love Tenacious D. Long live the D.
Ah.
And a great interview on WTF.
Thank you. Well, yeah, there was... lots of people from Carthage, Texas that knew Bernie that were in the film. But there was a couple actors mixed in there that were amazing. For instance, my favorite might have been Matthew McConaughey's mother, who is a hilarious woman who's the one smoking the cigarette with the lady who's laughing at everything she says. She's a hidden talent that Matthew's been hiding away from the world.
Well, talking about relatives, can I assume that you were inspired also to try your hand at jazz by your father-in-law, Charlie Hayden, who's one of the greatest jazz bassists of all time?
It's true. Yes, I was inspired. I didn't
did
know
he,
much
did
about
he think
jazz.
It was slightly insulting that you were making fun of jazz?
Well, I hope not. I did call him on the phone and say, listen, we made a jazz album, but I don't want you to take it the wrong way. It's a comedy jazz album, but... you know, we are the joke. We're not making jazz the joke. And he said he understood.
And his daughter is one of the triplets?
Yes.
She's also a musician.
My wife is one of his daughters, yeah. Yeah. And his daughters are amazing musicians as well.
Ever play with Tenacious D?
We have not done a show together yet, but... it's definitely possibly something that could happen.
You also have done a lot of voiceovers, haven't you, in movies for kids?
I have. Most notably Kung Fu Panda 1 and 2.
And then the LA Times reported that you've signed on with Rick Linklater to make a movie about a bowler. There's speculation that it might be about the great Pete Weber.
Yeah, it's true that we are working on a bowling movie, but I can't tell you who it's about or anything about it yet. But it's something that's pretty exciting to me.
Do any of your kids have musical talent? Are they interested in rocket science?
My boys are 4 and 6, and they are very talented. They love to get up in front of an audience, especially Sammy. My littlest boy, my 4-year-old Tommy, he's funny, and he's very dark humor. And I don't know if I should be concerned, but the other day he told me a joke. He said, why did the chicken cross the road? And I said, why? And he said, because he wanted to die. And I laughed, but I was also a little bit concerned. Like, where is he getting? He wrote that crazy little joke. Oh, boy.
You want to be hit by a car.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. He's only 4.
So good luck with the votes, the Golden Globe and the Oscars.
Thank you.
And people, you can find Bernie. It's just been released on DVD. We're going to go out with you singing another song from the movie.
All right.
Thank you so much, Jack Black.
Thanks for having me.
Love, love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe and